Well, this morning we're going to look at just a few verses in Psalm 102. We'll read verses 23 to 28 of this psalm, so really the last few verses. So if you have your Bibles, please follow along in this psalm as I read. Starting in verse 23. Let's read it together. He has broken my strength in mid-course. He has shortened my days. Oh my God, I say, take me not away in the midst of my days, you whose years endure throughout all generations. Of old you laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you will remain. They will all wear out like a garment. You will change them like a robe, and they will pass away. But you are the same, and your years have no end. The children of your servants shall dwell secure. Their offspring shall be established before you. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, as we consider these few verses and other portions of Scripture, we will meditate on your attributes. Father, help us to get a deep sense of awe as we look at you, as we gaze upon your nature. And Father, fill us with that wonder that we as your people need in worship today. In your Son's name we pray. Amen. Well, I took a step that I've never taken before. I took that step this week, and maybe you've already gone down that road. But I have never gone down this road before, and I have just taken my first step down that road. I signed up for a health club membership. I began to realize that unless I start exercising, I may find myself in big trouble in years ahead. On Monday, we were at the park, and I was helping George learn to ride his bicycle sans training wheels. And as I was running alongside him, I was getting more and more winded, and I found myself hoping that he would get this quickly because I don't know how much more of this I can take. Over the years, I've lost muscle, I've gained flab, my skin has become less resilient, my joints have become more vulnerable. It would be nice if we could all stay nice and trim, but the fact is we all change. And sometimes it's not always for the good. But God never changes. God never has to take preventative measures because God is immutable. He doesn't change. Today we're going to look at the topic of immutability, the immutability of God. And we're going to look at this grace-filled attribute known as immutability. And immutability, if you don't know what that means, it simply means that God doesn't change. He is unchangeable. We are not. We are changeable. Now there's some good things to that. But there's some not so good things to that, because when a child is born, they change. In fact, they develop in the womb, and then when they're born, they grow, and they make very quick changes early on. So those are good things. Children can learn to read, learn to spell, learn to do math, learn to ride a bicycle. But we also change for the worse as well. We wear out. We have aches and pains. We get diseases. God never changes. He is immutable. Wayne Grudem describes God's unchangeableness in his systematic theology. He describes it this way: God is unchanging in his being, his perfections, his purposes, and his promises. We're going to take a little bit of that and look at it this morning. Lewis Berry Chafer, in his Systematic Theology, takes the dictionary definition. He says, as defined by the New Standard Dictionary from many years ago, he says this: immutability is the state or quality of being, that which is not capable or susceptible of change, either by increase or by decrease, by development or by self-evolution, unchangeable, invariable, permanent, as God is immutable. God doesn't get better, and God doesn't get worse. He doesn't need to improve, and he doesn't decay. God is immutable. And as we look at this passage in Psalms, and we'll look at a couple of other scripture references, we'll get a better picture of what the Bible says about God's immutability, his unchangeableness. So take a look at with me at, first of all, at the nature of God's immutability. What is it about? What is it like? We get a clear picture of what God's immutability is like when we look at its nature, what it's made up of. First thing that we can see is that in God's immutability, God is immutable in his being, in his personhood, who he is. God is perfect, and everything about God is perfect. Again, that means that God can neither be improved on, nor can God be damaged in any way. He can neither get better, nor can he get worse. God doesn't grow. God doesn't decline. There was a movement a few years ago called the Openness of God movement that claimed that God didn't know everything about the future, that God himself was learning as history progressed. And evangelicals rightly rejected that movement. In fact, one theologian was thrown out of the Evangelical Theological Society because he embraced the openness of God theory. That's false. God does not grow. God does not learn. God is unchangeable. He knows everything from the end back to its beginning. And this goes back to God's self-existence. And we saw that last week in Exodus chapter 3, where God says, I am who I am. And we looked at the name Yahweh coming from this infinitive to be, Hayah, that God is who God is. He doesn't need to go back and check himself. He doesn't grow. God has no past. God has no future. God just is. He is always the same, ever present. God never changes. In his being, in who he is immutable and unchangeable. But he's also unchangeable in his character. In other words, God can never act uncharacteristic of himself. Sometimes when somebody acts in an uncharacteristic way, you get concerned because maybe they're sick. Maybe they're not feeling well. They get up in the morning and they just don't feel like themselves. They make uncharacteristic decisions, and that helps us to see that maybe something is wrong. Well, God never acts in an uncharacteristic way. When God is wrathful towards sin in one era of human history, we can expect that he can act characteristically wrathful of sin in another era of human history. Even in different dispensations, as they have been called, throughout human history, where God seems to save people through different means, prior to Jesus coming and dying, God still acted characteristically according to his nature. God doesn't change moral or natural laws simply because human beings have advanced in scientific understanding. God is and always will be characteristically God. So when God says something is bad, we can expect that he will punish it. And when God says something is good, we can expect that he will reward it. And those whom God chooses, he characteristically blesses. Look at what God says through Malachi. For I, the Lord, do not change. Therefore, you, O children of Jacob, are not consumed. They were rebellious people, especially in Malachi's day. And yet God gave them a covenant and said, I will not break that covenant, even though they deserved desperate and dire punishment. But God doesn't change. He does not act uncharacteristic of himself. And if God promises us salvation, he will not one day change his mind and say, nah, I'm pretty sure I don't want you to come to heaven with me. God always acts characteristically of himself. God is immutable in his character. But he's also immutable in his purposes. The things that God decides he is going to carry out, his will, the things he's going to do in this world, who God is, his being, and what God is like, his character, never change. Moreover, the purposes that God has determined for creation will never change either. Look at what the psalmist says. In Psalm 33, the Lord brings the counsel of the nations to nothing. He frustrates the plans of the people. The counsel of the Lord stands forever, the plans of his heart to all generations. The things that God plans to do, the purposes that God plans to do, he will carry out. Sometimes we plan to do things and we don't get a chance to carry them out. James says something about that. He says it's prideful to say that you're going to go into a city and you're going to trade and you're going to do this and that. James says, you know, you really ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will do this or that. Because we are not immutable and we don't have the eternal and infallible capacity to carry out our own plans. Sometimes we make promises to our kids. Say, we'll do this, but then other stuff happens and we say, yeah, sorry, we just can't do it right now. But God always carries out his purposes. Look at what God says through Isaiah. He says, I am God. There is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning, from ancient times, things not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand. I will accomplish my purpose. I have spoken, I will bring it to pass. I have purposed, I will do it. God always carries out his purposes. One of the tasks that we have as Christians is to understand God's purposes. Because John says in his letter that if you ask according to God's will, he will do it. So if you're asking, if you're praying to God that something be done, if that is in keeping with God's purposes, then guess what? God will do it. And you have confidence that he is immutable and will carry out his purposes. But lastly, under number one, God is immutable in his promises. God promised to bless the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And he has done just that, and he will continue to do just that. One of the reasons I don't believe that the church is now Israel, that we have replaced Israel, is that God has promised to bless Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Now, God's not going to pull a fast one and now say, wait a minute, the church is now them. These descendants, these physical descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob are still deserving of a blessing, not in and of themselves, but because of God's promise. Now, we are spiritual descendants of Abraham, but the Bible says we're not descendants of Israel. But God promises to carry out the things that he blesses his people with, and he will make sure those blessings are carried out. Balaam, back in the book of Numbers, this pagan sorcerer, was called upon to curse the Israelites. And Balaam found that he could not curse the Israelites. He opened his mouth, and the things that he wanted to come out of his mouth couldn't come out. God's blessings came out of Balaam's mouth rather than cursings. He says this, God is not man that he should lie, or a son of man that he should change his mind. Has he said, and he will not do it? Or has he spoken, and will he not fulfill it? Behold, I received a command to bless. He has blessed, I cannot revoke it. Balaam tried to curse Israel, much to Balak's chagrin. But he just could not curse Israel. And people today are trying to curse Israel, and they just cannot do it. So, the nature of God's immutability, that he is immutable in his being, his character, his purposes, and his promises. But we also see something, particularly here in this Psalm 102 passage, we see the uniqueness of God's immutability. The uniqueness of God's immutability. His unchangeableness. One of the ways he demonstrates that he is not like us, and we are not like him, is in his unchangeableness. How unlike us God is. Look at verse 26 with me. They, speaking of the heavens and earth and so on, they will perish, but you will remain. They will all wear out like a garment. You will change them like a robe, and they will pass away, but you are the same, and your years have no end. God is unique in his immutability. No one else is like him. No other being is like God. Everyone else changes. Look at what he says in verse 26. God never perishes, never decays. Food in your refrigerator perishes. Sometimes it gets smelly. Sometimes it gets moldy. Sometimes it has to be thrown out. It perishes. But God never perishes. We also see in verse 26 that God never wears out. I tend to latch on to favorite articles of clothing. So when I find a piece of clothing, a shirt maybe that I like, I wear it a lot. And that's frustrating because it wears out a lot more quickly because I wear it so much. But here, the psalm writer declares that the heavens and the earth wear out like a garment. But God never wears out. You know, is it any wonder where our scientists are finding that the earth's climate is changing in some way? Well, the earth is wearing out. It's physical. God never wears out. Also in verse 26 and 27, God never passes away. Verse 27, God never ends. Revelation, God and Jesus Christ, both of those entities, Father and Son, both say, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. Well, God has no end. This means that when we get to the end, God keeps going. And therefore, our destiny in Christ has no end. Our destiny is not finitude. Our destiny is not finality. Our destiny is eternity, as long as we are in Christ, because Christ has no end. God is unique in his immutability. But not only in this passage do we see the nature of God's immutability and the uniqueness of it, but we also see the blessing of God's immutability. There's a blessing associated with God's unchangeableness. It does have real-world implications for us. The attributes of God are not merely academic. They have real-world changes or real-world implications for us. And here in these verses, we find the blessings associated with what God is like. Look with me at verse 28. He says, "The children of your servants shall dwell secure. Their offspring shall be established before you." There is a blessing of security. When we know that God never changes, even though everything else changes, there is security that we can rely on. Since God is unchangeable, we have a solid foundation upon which to build our lives. We don't have to be tossed about in the stormy waters of changing politics and changing technology and changing fashion or even our own changing, withering bodies. Think about what the world was like when your grandparents were born. Think about the changes they experienced in their lives. Think about the changes your parents and you have experienced in your lives. So many changes that have taken place over the 20th century and, of course, even into these first few years of the 21st century. So much changes, and yet God never changes. We have a promise that we can dwell securely in the God who doesn't change, who doesn't get surprised when the storms come. And if we stand firmly on what God says, even though the storms of change may come, we will still stand and dwell securely. Look at what Jesus says in Matthew chapter 7. He says this, "Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain fell, the floods came, the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock." The storms are still going to come. The rain is still going to fall. But the person who founds their life, who grounds their life on the rock of God's unchangeable word will dwell securely. So there's a blessing of security that we have when we meditate on the fact that God never changes. But there's also the blessing of salvation. The blessing of salvation. Look with me at verse 23. "He has broken my strength in mid-course. He has shortened my days. O my God, I say, take me not away in the midst of my days, you whose years endure throughout all generations." Now, there's a plea there. In fact, there's this kind of a feeling of this helpless cry that God would not take him away. But in the midst of that helpless cry, there's also an assurance that salvation is there. If we were unchangeable, then we would be unbreakable. And if we were unbreakable, then our pre-existing sinful condition could also never be changed or never be broken. In fact, we could never be saved. But, and we could praise the Lord for this, we can make mid-course corrections. Look at what he says again in verse 23. "He has broken my strength in mid-course." Now that sounds negative. It's actually positive. Because our strength really is no strength at all. And the fact that in God's immutable, unbreakable, unchangeable nature, He can break our strength. He can crack us wide open so that the soft interior can be affected and can be changed. God can take us at the beginning of our life, at the middle of our life, at the end of our life, and He can break us so that we can become new creatures in Him. And He can cause us to veer off our collision course with hell. He can redirect our path so in our brokenness we can receive Christ and find a new unshakable destiny in God's eternal, unchangeable kingdom. And He does that with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Just as God Himself can neither be added to nor subtracted from, neither can God's word or the gospel itself be added to or subtracted from. So we try to add works to the gospel, and it can't be done. You can't add anything to the gospel. We try to take away things from the gospel. You can't take anything away from the gospel. We try to add to God's word. We try to take away from God's word. It cannot be done. Because the gospel and God's word are part and parcel of God's nature. Look at what the psalmist says in Psalm 19. David, can you just hit that once? Thank you. Up.
I guess I don't have it.
The psalmist says, "The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul." The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. It cannot be added to, it cannot be subtracted from. The payment of sin is immutable, just as God is immutable. When you throw a tomato up against a brick wall, what's going to change? The brick wall? No. The tomato is going to change. And that's like us when our sinful souls are cast up against the immutable, unchangeable nature of God's word and the gospel. It's not God's word and the gospel that changes. It's we who change. And praise the Lord, God is unchangeable. But we can also praise the Lord that we are not unchangeable. Because we can change, we can grow, we can advance, we can learn, and we can repent of our sin and have a redirected path. So that the life that we are living, if it's not in keeping with God's purposes, we can be convicted, we can repent, and we can change course midstream. And those are two things that we can thank the Lord for. We're conceived and born with a sinful nature, but God changes us into the likeness of Christ. And therefore, it's a good thing that we change. In fact, it's appropriate that we do. If we're constantly growing to be more like Christ, then our life should change alongside of it. So 5 years from now, we should be different people than we are today. We should be advancing in holiness. We should be advancing in our knowledge of Christ. We should be growing to be more like Christ. Not only individually, but corporately. Together, this body should not be the same body as it was in 1933 when Christ Community Church was incorporated. We are a completely different set of people. And we have completely different sets of circumstances. The Word of God doesn't change. The gospel doesn't change. The God we worship doesn't change. But praise the Lord, we change. So when a high school student graduates from high school, goes off to college, they should be able to come back 4 years later and find us a little bit different. They should find that we ourselves have grown just a little bit more. and have changed just a little bit so that they don't find a fossil, they don't find a relic, but they find a living, breathing body that is worshiping the same God, studying the same Bible, and declaring the same gospel that they did when they were, that we did when they were growing up. God doesn't change, and we can praise the Lord for that. The story is told of Lloyd C. Douglas. He was a minister in the early 20th century. He was author of several books. One of those books is the book entitled The Rose, which was made into a movie, I think, in the 1960s. But the story is told of him at the time. He was a college student living in a boarding house. And downstairs on the first floor, there was a retired music teacher who was too elderly to leave his apartment. So every morning, Lloyd would go through a ritual with this elderly man. He would come down the stairs and open the old man's door, and he would ask this question, "What's the good news today?" And the old man would pick up one of his old tuning forks. He would tap it on the side of his wheelchair, and he would say, "That's middle C. It was middle C yesterday, it will be middle C tomorrow, and it will be middle C 1,000 years from now." And the old man would say, "The tenor upstairs sings flat, the piano across the hall is out of tune, but that, my friend, is middle C." The old man had discovered one thing that he could depend on, one unchangeable reality in his life. And for Christians, that one unchangeable reality is Jesus Christ. Hebrews 13, verse 8 says this, "Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever." Jesus Christ is God. Now wait a minute. Jesus Christ became a human. Does that mean he changed? No. Because Jesus Christ, taking on human flesh, was still 100% God. See, some people claim that Jesus Christ started out as God, then he became a human being and left his godness up in heaven. That's not true, because God never changes. Jesus simply adopted in his omnipotence, he adopted human flesh. So he took on a second nature that does change, that does break, that does become harmed. And in his new nature, with human flesh, Jesus Christ was broken so that in his broken humanity, he could be the bridge for us to experience his immutable divinity. Jesus Christ took on flesh so that he could bring us, who are changeable, sinful people, into contact with the God who does not change. And that's what Jesus did. He didn't stop being immutable, but he started being breakable. And in his brokenness, as that body is broken on the cross, he opens a door so that we can experience God's unchanging divinity through God's unchanging word, through the proclamation of God's unchanging gospel. Well, as we prepare for the Lord's Supper, take time to pray silently, just for a few moments, offering words of confession, offering words of praise to this immutable one whose payment for sin can never be added to or subtracted from. Meditate on that payment. Meditate on God's immutability in contrast to your own changeableness. And thank God that because he doesn't change, we can change. Thank God that we can advance in our understanding. We can grow and we can adapt to meet the changes of a sinful society. Let's take time to pray right now.